Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message from the book of Matthew, Too Much of a Good Thing. The title of the message today is Too Much of a Good Thing. We are told we should take things in moderation, that too much or too little food can lead to obesity, or on the other side, starving your body, because sugar is very good, donuts are good, but too much of it can lead to diabetes. Too much exercise can lead to health issues, but too little exercise also can as well. The Bible even says wine is not a bad thing. As long as you don't get drunk, it's okay though, because drunkenness is a sin according to Proverbs chapter 20 verse 1 and several other scriptures, but having a glass of alcohol to not get drunk is not a bad thing. So there are healthy things in everyone's life that when too little or too much can have dire effects. The same thing goes for the things of God. We will see religious unbalance, as there was a beautiful faith at one point when the Pharisees started. They were walking in a beautiful orthodoxy, which sometimes even today's culture can get a little Pharisaic. But then it got to a point where they were so hooked on the law that they began to add to it. It got so bad that there are writings that said, if anyone were to go enter to heaven, and there were only two that could, it would be a scribe and a Pharisee. They added to the laws, some were written, were this. You can't spit on the Sabbath, because if it rolls and becomes a furrow and starts to roll down the hill, it's farming and considered work. Women can't look in a mirror on the Sabbath because if they pull out a gray hair, it's considered work. If you break your arm on the Sabbath, you have to wait till the next day to set it, or it would be breaking the law. That's crazy. Then people would work around the law. See, you couldn't travel to your neighbor's house, but if you tied a rope to their house the day before the Sabbath, it connected to two buildings, and then you could walk to your neighbor's house. You can't sell pork on the Holy Land, but if you built stages off the ground, they literally were off the Holy Land, and you could sell pork to the Gentiles. Cigarettes and smoking are not in the Bible, but there are a lot of health and dietary laws to follow. So you don't eat pork or shellfish, but you can smoke cigarettes, and you can see a lot of Orthodox Jews smoking today. Pharisees made a rule that adultery was when two single people were together, two single people. It was biblically the sin of fornication, though. But they made a rule that says that if you were married and your wife maybe messed up something, didn't clean something up, you could put her away and be with another woman, and it didn't break the law. And there were Pharisees who had several wives because they put their wives away, which is a little bit crazy. So what was once a beautiful system became an impossible religious mess. It was a system that choked the life out of you. It was sickening, and Jesus is now breaking that system down, which we're going to free many people, but stir up anger in many religious folks. Now, if we look back on last week's message, wretched, and if you look at yourself as poor in spirit, and mourn in that which will produce meekness, and cause us to be honest with ourselves, and walk in that, then there is the impact it will have on the world around us. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 today. We're going to learn a little bit about salt as you turn to your Bibles. Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 says this: You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. It's emphatic here. This is in the language, it's emphatic. It means you alone, Christian, are the salt of the earth. You alone, which means you should be salty. Are you salty? Now, in life today, too much salt can lead to health issues. But Jesus says here, we need to be salty in our walks. Salt was an extremely important commodity back then as well as today. Dead sea salt is the best salt on earth. Roman soldiers and their salaries were given salt as a part of their pay. Salt was vital as it could preserve meat in the field or even dress a wound. Salt was extremely important. Then there was the temple salt. There was a room specifically in the temple where bad salt was kept. So when it got cold, the workers would spread it on the steps. I do that a lot in Mount Pleasant. And it seems to snow almost every Sunday for a few months a year here. After shoveling, putting down bad salt to melt the snow away. See, Jesus is referring to that salt here when he talks about the salt that lost its saltiness. Because there's good salt. Like last night I was making honey pepper mustard and I used Himalayan sea salt. And you use that good salt for purposeful things. Then there's the kind that's wasted and thrown to be trampled on. Now salt has many effects on people. Salt has a sting to it when it gets in a wound or it gets in your eye. So remember, there might be some sting from a Christian who is walking in a salty life. Salt also creates thirst. And when I'm at the movies, there are times I wish I bought the medium drink instead of the small one, especially if the theater serves bad salty popcorn. Salt was an antiseptic back then, and I'm glad I don't have to use it for those purposes. Salt was used to make things kosher back then, which was extremely important to the Jews. Salt was used in sacrifices and to make certain covenants. So salt was extremely important. The reason the world hasn't gone to pot today is because Christians are here and we are the salt. God pulled righteous Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah before he leveled it and told Abraham he wouldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked, which also, interestingly enough, Enoch was pulled out of the world 1 week before judgment took place on the world, and the world was flooded because he was a righteous man. The first rapture, only one person was pulled out, and the rest of them, there was only seven of them that were saved on an ark. It's interesting because God burned the place with fire, and he cleansed it by turning people to salt. The angel specifically told Lot they couldn't do anything until he left. So that says to me that the world will not go through a great tribulation until the church is gone from the earth. It's scriptural. Now, scientifically speaking, salt can't lose its saltiness, but Jesus is not saying that. There are mountains of beautiful areas of salt at the Dead Sea. Pure salt pushed up from the earth, then mixed in with other minerals to make the Dead Sea salty. The ocean has 4 grams of salt per liter. The Dead Sea has 265 grams of salt per liter. We were warned several times at the swim site, do not drink the water. Do not get the water in your eyes. Do not splash in the water. Be extremely careful when swimming in the water. They had an emergency crew there ready to help someone if they were to drink it or to get it in their eyes. I got a tiny bit of Dead Sea water in my eye when floating in it. I had never felt pain like that in my entire life. It felt like my eye was burning out of my head. It was like floating in motor oil. It was a disgusting yet weird feeling as I floated on the surface of the water and walked around in foot-deep salty mud. So drink 4 ounces, which there's a 4-ounce glass on the PowerPoint here, and when you drink it, you will die. You have minutes before you dehydrate to get to the emergency station and hydrate yourself with milk and water. So in Jesus' time, they mined salt there, and they do today as well. They would mine the salt off the mountains, and it was good on food, and just a pure taste. While some salt they mined had gypsum of the other minerals mixed with the water and the salt, and it didn't have the right taste, and at times it was actually bitter to the mix of the elements. So that latter salt was taken to the temple precincts and in the court of women, where there were 4 rooms. There was one corner room that held wood for the temple fires. There was one corner room that was a vow room. You could go in and you could have quiet time while you took a vow before the Lord. One corner room was where people would come and sit with the scribes and the teachers, and they would ask questions or go back and forth about theology. Then there was a fourth corner room where they stored bad salt so they could throw it on the pavement and it wouldn't be slippery. That's why we need to be careful as believers with our saltiness. We can lose our saltiness if we let too many worldly things add with that saltiness. We can call ourselves Christians, but look and be like everyone else around us because we're called to be different. We alone are salt, not lukewarm or cold, but on fire. We should be a palatable salt. We should sting at times with words, but mostly through living for Him. We are a preservative, and people should notice this. So are you blending in with the world and adding the minerals of it to your saltiness, or are you staying pure in your saltiness and preserving the Lord in others' lives? Now verse 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. That's emphatic again. You alone, believer, are the light of the world. Verse 15. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Once again, it's a comparison, like the salt. Is your light a light that is hidden or a light that is shared? Jesus is teaching on a hill overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And the highest point is a city there named Safed. And what would happen was the fishermen, when they were on the sea fishing on an overcast night, could not see the moon or the stars and get a bearing where they were. Safed is on the north point, and they could see it below the clouds lit up, and they saw it, and they got their bearings from it. A town on a hill cannot be hidden, because light is neat. Because when God created it in Genesis, He made it on the third day, the sun, the moon, and stars, and they are called in the language light bearers. But go back to the third verse of the chapter, and it says God created light because they needed the light to shine. He made light first, then He made light bearers. Then in the New Testament, it says people are not saved because they don't see the light of the good news, that Jesus is to shine in their lives. That is the spiritual light. Jesus says in John 3:19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Love in that verse is the word agape. They love darkness. They're devoted to darkness and miserable people. I know miserable people in my life. A lot of times when they're miserable, it's because they're not saved and they're walking in darkness. If they come into the light, their deeds will be exposed. That's spiritual light. Salt is not heard, it is seen. Light is not heard, it is seen. So what we gather is how we live among others as believers. That affects people. That's why what is seen in your life is so important. That a believer who is compromising and living like everyone else is not making an impact. The greatest times that took place in my life where I saw people saved or changed was when I was living daily for Christ. I was walking daily in His love and living for Him, and people literally would come up to me and say, "What's so different about you?" That's a meter for me. If I'm not hearing that, then it makes me pray and wonder, "Lord, what do I need to do to get back to that place again? Because I want to be light and I want to be salty." Then 9 times out of 10, the Lord tells me I'm compromising something. There is something hindering my life that I need to get out of it. You see, Jesus didn't come to bless us or to meditate with us or to bring enlightenment to us. He is a Savior and He came to save us. Verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let your light shine. You know the truth. Share and live in the truth, so people may see, and then when they do, give all the glory to Him. Attention should come our way, but all the glory to Him. So there should be an evaluation here as we look at what Jesus is teaching. How about first, are we balanced in our saltiness? Are we praying? And more than that, are we living daily every hour and every minute for Jesus? Because we need to be careful on two sides, as we learned from the beginning. Are we Pharisaic? And since we have been Christians for so long, have we lost our saltiness? We tend to be more religious. We take what Jesus said and add to it. We're more rule-driven than relationship. Too much of a good thing can sadly turn into something that turns people off. Then because we're so rule-driven, we don't want to follow that witness because it just turns people off. Which in the balance, you will turn people off. That's not what I'm implying. We need to be careful not to get legalistic. Or are we compromising so that we lose the saltiness? We're adding so many worldly minerals in our walks and people look to us and they see, "Oh, he's just like everybody else. She's just like everybody else. They look like me, and there really is no difference. Why would I want to be a Christian when it looks like the same way I'm living now?" See, we need to be heavenly-minded and earthly good. We can't be too heavenly-minded, and we can't be too earthly good. We need to find the balance, and the only way we can find balance is if we pray and if we follow God. Number two, how are we a preservative? How do we shine? The closer we are to Jesus, the more we can be like Him. The more we are in Jesus, the more we can be like Him. In other words, how close are you to Jesus daily? Are you praying? Are you reading the Word? Are you getting yourself into church weekly, which God has been speaking to me a lot about lately? I went and still go to church. Well, I used to go to church twice on a Sunday until we stopped having night services here because we didn't have enough people. I remember not wanting to go to night service anymore, but a wise person spoke to me and said this: "Sometimes we're in church because we need others." And that's true, but there are times we are in church because they need us. So your absence could be affecting other people and not in a good light. God gave us access to Him, and He did it through communication in prayer, learning through His Word, and worshiping with His people. Those all help us to shine and disciple others. Number three, are we preserving and are we shining? Do we go out and hide ourselves under a bowl? Do we want people to know that we love Jesus? If you say, no, I desire people to see Christ in me and know I love him, look around. You are, and are they seeing Christ in you? Are you shining in your life, in your school, in your job, at the places that you hang out? And do you have a meter for that? What's your meter? The Word of God should be your meter. When people are not seeing something different in you, are you stopping and reevaluating your walk with Jesus Christ? And I think about this today that I have lots of friends and people that I hang out with. And some of them know Jesus and they love the Lord. And some of them don't know Jesus and they don't know the Lord. And I enjoy hanging out with my unsaved friends and I enjoy hanging out with my saved friends. And someday when I go to heaven, I'm going to be able to hang out with my saved friends with Jesus for all of eternity. Then there's my unsaved friends. And if I don't live for Christ, if I don't walk in Christ, if I lose my saltiness, if I lose my light, if I even become too heavenly minded or too earthly good, and I'm not balanced, and they're not seeing something different in me, then someday they're not going to share in heaven with me. Someday they're not going to go to heaven. And I won't be able to hang out with them anymore. You know, because I've enjoyed hanging out with my unsaved friends for years. My atheist friends. My friends that don't believe in Christ. I like hanging out with them. I enjoy them. But someday I may not be able to hang out with them anymore because they're going to be eternally separated from me. There may be family that you have in your life. And your family, you won't be able to hang out with them anymore. Because they're going to be eternally separated from you forever. That's something we need to think about, Christian. If you really are a Christian, you really need to think about that. Do you want to be eternally separated from unsaved people forever? Or maybe if we have that balance in us of being heavenly minded and being earthly good, that maybe while we're out hanging out with them, they'll say to us, you know what, there's something different about you. And I don't know what it is, but I want that. And you can say, you know what that is? That's Jesus. And he's shining through me. He's making me salty. That's a huge reality. You know? Because I think about that. I haven't seen my firemen friends for a little while. I miss them. Because I haven't seen them for a little bit. I can't imagine not seeing them for an eternity. And I don't know where they stand with Christ. Some of them I do. Some of them I know that they're Christians and they're walking with the Lord. Some of them I have no clue. Are they walking with Jesus? You know, do I see light in them? Do I see saltiness in them? That's not for me to judge. That's between them and God. But they're my friends. And I miss them because I haven't seen them for a little while. When you guys don't come to church, you know, there's some families and they don't come for like a few months because they're working or because they're doing something, and then they come back to church. I'm like, man, I miss them. I'm so glad that I saw them in church today. Think about not seeing them for all of eternity. All because you just want to fit in and you want to feel comfortable. You know, we need to have the balance of being earthly minded and heavenly good. Do you have that? Are you balanced in that? Let's pray. Father, I just pray for each and every one of us here today and ask, Lord, that you would help us to be heavenly minded and to be earthly good, to have that balance today, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would just work in our lives in that way. Jesus, I love you. I thank you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be an example to those who don't know you. Help them to walk in you today, Lord, and help them to see you through us. That's the only way they're going to know, is if you shine through us. You use us as reflections. I pray, Lord, that you would make us reflective, that you would make us salty, that you would help us to have that balance. And in that, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the social media button, and you can check out Facebook, and you can see us on our podcast. You could listen along, or you could even just subscribe. We even have a weekly blog post where Pastor pokes different messages about marriage or about the Amish or about, there have been different types of subjects that he has focused on and from his experience of living in different areas of his life and where God has taken him on many adventures. Thank you very much, everyone. Have an awesome day in Jesus. Have an awesome week in the Lord. And don't forget, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.